Hi, everyone. Today we're reading John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." So as we're still in John 1 here, the main character so far that we've encountered is John the Baptist. And so yesterday we were talking about how John was not the Christ. He's not the Lord. He's not the light. But he was the one who would witness to the light. He would make the path straight for the Lord, for Christ. He was, the analogy was given like a road sign pointing people in the direction of Jesus. And so it's appropriate that Jesus comes onto the scene here for the first time. And John's response is, as he sees Jesus, is, "Behold." Now, behold here is look, see, literally pointing, right? Pointing to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, when John says this, when he sees Jesus, he knows there's something special about him. And that's what he's pointing to people about, that Jesus is this Lamb of God. Now, we're not entirely sure what John's audience understood about what John meant by Lamb of God, but likely they saw it as this like Messiah. He's like pointing them to that there was this special person that was that was come here. And what John is telling the people, and he's telling us for sure, is that Jesus would be the one who would bring salvation, take away the sin of the world, like that sacrificial lamb of God. Now, they didn't have an idea of Jesus being this Messiah that would go to the cross, but there was something special that he was pointing them to. And this passage is fascinating, interesting, because this is when Jesus was baptized. Now, for some reason, John, the author, he doesn't mention that Jesus actually baptized here, but everything that we know from the other passages is here as well. It's Jesus coming to John, and all these other things. It's the voice that comes from heaven and the Spirit descending. And like all those other accounts, this scene is so compelling because it's the Trinity. It's all three. God the Father speaks. This, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is the one, right? This is my Son, right? And it's God tells John the Baptist, this is the special one. This is the Lord. This is the Messiah that was to come. And also the Holy Spirit comes down, and he comes and he remains on this special Lamb of God. Now, that Spirit remaining on this Messiah is very important, actually, because this is not the first time the Holy Spirit had come to earth. We see examples in the Old Testament of people being filled with the Spirit. And the first person that comes to mind for me is King Saul. Right? There's parts where Saul is prophesying. And it's like, whoa, the Spirit came upon him. He's prophesying. But in that example of King Saul, an example of all the other people within the Old Testament, is that the Spirit did not remain on them. The Spirit came and it left them. But here, God declares the Spirit would remain on Jesus. And John the Baptist, as he witnesses all of this, he declares in verse 34, "I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. This is the Holy One. This is God himself, the Christ, the Messiah, all of those things. This is the one we have been waiting for." Now for us, what are our takeaways from something like this? One is that we need to recognize who Jesus is. Right? He is the Son of God. He is the one. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away our sins. We need to understand just how great he is. And just, yeah, like the glory and the goodness of who he is. But also, what it says in this passage is, what God says is that this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So as Jesus came, and as we receive him, we are baptized with the Spirit. And that Spirit remains upon us as well. We are the Holy Spirit. Ones of God. Now, we're not the Messiah, we're not the Lord, we're not the Christ, but we are the body of Christ, and we show people in our lives, in our community, through the church, we show them who Jesus is and how we live and how that Spirit lives upon us. And so often I feel like when it comes to the Spirit with us, we feel like we need to receive more, and we do, but it's not necessarily like the Spirit coming down more. It's just a greater understanding for ourselves, a greater manifestation in our minds and in our hearts that Spirit remains, is with us, that we are holy. We're the holy ones of God. We are the people who display the majesty and the power of God. So as we think of this passage, as we think about our lives, let's pray that we can be a demonstration of the power of God, a demonstration of the Spirit of God as that Spirit remains in us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done, that you are our Lamb. You are the Lamb of God who took away our sins. And as our sins have been taken away, may we understand that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, remains upon us, that dwells in us. Help us to live in victory and hope. And I pray that as a body, not just individually, as a church body, that we will live in that hope and victory together, and that we will display your greatness to the world, God. I want you to bless us, God. I want you to move in our hearts here. In your name we pray.